As I mentioned a few minutes ago, today is the beginning of what is referred to as Passion Week. The word passion means suffering. It is only used one time, by the way, in the Bible, and that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, where the scripture says, "To whom also Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. His passion, that's his crucifixion, his suffering on the cross. Jesus Christ was placed on the cross at the time of the morning sacrifice, 9 a.m. He died at the time of the evening sacrifice, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible records that Jesus made seven statements from the cross. These statements are important not only because of the person who said them, but because of the place where they were said. When our Lord was doing his greatest work on earth, he was uttering some of his greatest words. The last seven statements of our Lord can be thought of as windows which enable us to look into eternity and see the heart of God as we listen to the voice of the Son of God. The first three statements were made in the light of day. But by the time he spoke the fourth time, the scripture says, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now think of it. Our Lord, the light of the world, hung in darkness when he died for us. I would like for us this morning to focus on his sixth statement from the cross. Would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 19? The Gospel of John, chapter 19. Verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. I want us to focus on this so that we can appreciate what he was talking about when he said that. Now, we do not know in what language Jesus actually spoke those words. We do know that Jesus Christ was multilingual. He could have said it in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek. For example, in the fourth statement that he made from the cross, the one that is in English, you know, says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know that in that one sentence, Jesus spoke in two different languages. In the one statement, Eli, Eli, he said, that's Hebrew. Lama sabachthani. That's Aramaic. So it's interesting that our Lord was multilingual. So we do not know exactly which terminology he used for this particular statement. It doesn't matter, because whether it's in Aramaic, whether it's Hebrew or Greek, it all says the same thing. It is finished. The most common language of the day was Greek. It is finished. One word in Greek, 10 letters, tetelestai. Translated, it is finished. Tetelestai. T-E is the prefix. The tie is the suffix to the word. To tell, T-E-L-E, means goal or end. You use this word all the time. Did you ever call someone on the telephone? That's to take sound to its end. A telescope is to allow us to see to an end. We talk about a telecast, a telegram, a teleprompter, telepathy. See the word tell in there? The end, the goal. It means this, whether it's in Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic. It is perfect, finished, complete, accomplished, performed, paid. When Jesus spoke, it is finished. You could translate it. It is completed. It's accomplished. It's performed. It's paid. He spoke, maybe for our benefit, of course, but to his Father. I have finished the work that you sent me to do. Stay with me. This is not complicated. It'd be easy for you to understand. I know you don't know as much syntax, maybe, of languages. That statement, it is finished, was said in third person singular. Now, here's what that means. He did not say, I am finished. That'd be first person, I. He said, it is finished. By the way, of course he didn't say, I am finished, because he wasn't. He came out of the grave on the third day, right? He did not say, they are finished, the people who crucified him. No. That would be plural, they. It's in third person singular. It's actually in what is referred to as the perfect indicative, the perfect tense, the indicative mood. Whatever it is finished. It simply means it is finished, it stands finished, and it will always be finished. That's what that verb means. So whatever he's referring to is complete. At the cross, we can't add anything to it. So whether it was in Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek, it all says the same thing. Now the people who were around the cross, Jews or Gentiles, had heard that particular word, tetelestai. They had heard it many times. It was a part of their common vocabulary. It wasn't terminology that they did not understand. Let's see if we can look at how they use this word and give us an appreciation for the statement, it is finished. So here's my first thought. Back at that time, the Jewish people, or Gentiles if they converted, they used the word tetelestai to speak of the sacrifice that was perfect, the animal sacrifice. We won't turn to every passage, but would you turn to Leviticus 22? Now, obviously, we're going back to the Old Testament law, Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21 and 22. Now listen and see if you see our word here. Leviticus 22, verse 21. And whosoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a freewill offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect. There it is. To be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. If the lamb was without blemish, the priest, and remember, they would bring their lambs to the priest because they wanted to do a check. One of their responsibilities when they brought their sacrifice, the priest would examine the sacrifice. Just like this says, any scabs, any cuts, anything that's out of order, any particular thing that is, makes it imperfect. And he would look at the lamb before it's offered. It cannot be offered unless it's perfect, right? That's what it says. It has to be perfect. And after he would finish, if he spoke in Greek, doesn't matter, Hebrew's the same, he would say, Tetelestai. It's perfect. You can sacrifice it. Our Lord was saying on the cross, it's perfect, Lord. I'm offering the sacrifice. It's given to you. It's perfect. And I remember the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God to purge our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. That's why Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, the sinless Son of God. Only God could save us, because nobody is perfect. Only Jesus. He offered himself without spot. He was sinless. So he was the perfect sacrifice. So they had heard that. Examine the lamb, Tetelestai. It's perfect. They also used it in another way. They used it to speak of a debt that was paid. I love doing extra research on passages, and I don't even know what book it was originally. I later found it in many history books. Do you know that archaeologists have actually found tax receipts from the first century? And interestingly enough, on many of them, there was some type of a stamp or a writing, and it said, Tetelestai. Meaning, it's paid. This is a paid tax. There it is. The first century merchants used this word when purchases were made. You buy something, you pay for it, and he would say, Tetelestai, it's paid. Jesus was saying, it's paid. They had heard that terminology before. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, our sin debt is paid. All of it. You don't work part of it to heaven. No. Jesus, okay. The song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I've sung that many, many times. Jesus paid it all. Now, if you're here, and again, I always say, I don't know everyone's spiritual condition. I don't know, maybe some of you personally. Do you know for sure that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You can't work your way there. You can't get there on your own. You'll never be good enough. You'll never keep his laws. But Jesus paid it all your sins. to get you to heaven. I remember the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter says, Messiah the Prince finishes the transgression. There it is. Makes an end of sins and makes reconciliation for iniquity. So first, tetelestai, the sacrifice is perfect. Second, the debt is paid. Third, they use this terminology when a servant in their household or whatever finished his work. Turn, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John 17. In John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus is speaking, and he says, he's speaking to his Father. I always have felt John 17, if you read the chapter, this is Jesus speaking to his Father. He's on earth, but he's speaking to his heavenly Father. God the Son is speaking to God the Father. What we call the second person of the Godhead is speaking to the first person of the Godhead. I would call this chapter the Holy of Holies in the Upper Room Discourse, where Jesus, amidst the things of time, speaks with the voice of eternity as he talks with his Father about who he is and what he's doing. He says, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. Here it comes. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. Tetelestai. It's finished. He's ready to go to the cross. In those days, when a servant was given a responsibility to do a job, he might work all day. And when he got there in the evening, he would come back to his master and he would say, Tetelestai, it's finished. I finished the work. Thank you, servant. Jesus is the Father's servant. Isaiah says, they shall see my servant beaten and bloodied, marred more than any man. As Isaiah the prophet, 750 years or so before Christ, describes for us the crucifixion, the servant. It was used of a servant when he finished his work. Oh, hang on. They also used the tetelestai when an author completed his book or his scroll or manuscript. Books came later, of course, we understand that. But now, what have we done for most of the time that I've read books? I know not every book has this, but many, many times I come down to the last chapter, the last page, and it says in English, the end. As if I couldn't figure that out, but I don't know, I've always wondered through the years, but you've seen it hundreds, thousands of times, the end. In the first century, when they wrote the manuscript and they finished it, they put tetelestai, it's finished. The book is done. It's complete. This is it. The manuscript is completed. And then I listened to Jesus after his resurrection in Luke 24, he says, Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in this book, the book of the law of Moses, he said, and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus said it needs to be fulfilled. There it is, tetelestai. It'll all be completed. It's finished. I have fulfilled the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, the Old Testament. All the ceremonies, all the symbols, all the prophecies find their fulfillment in Christ. I remember at the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were on the mount, appeared on the mount. They saw Jesus in glorified form. And the Bible says, we know what they were talking about. They were speaking about his decease, that is, his death or his crucifixion. Now listen to what they say, what they're talking about. Which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. There's our word. It'll be fulfilled. It'll be completed. Tetelestai. It'll be finished. And so, Hebrews 10:7 says, in the volume of the book, it is written of the Messiah, I come to do thy will, O God. So Jesus has completed, finished the book, the Old Testament. He did it. Not by his sinless life, as admirable as that is, not by his miracles, as supernatural as they are, not by his teachings, as profound as they were, not by his character, as exemplary as it is, but by becoming sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us. He finished the work, completed the sacrifice, fulfilled the book. You say, well, if the work was finished on, we'll say, Good Friday, at his crucifixion, what is the significance of Easter? Easter is the proof that the sacrifice was perfect, that the debt was paid, that the work was complete, and the book is fulfilled. That's exactly what Easter tells us. He did on the cross those things. So the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is really for our benefit. It is God's guarantee that what Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross, it is finished, actually happened. If he had not been finished, if he hadn't been physically resurrected, we would never know for sure if what he said was true. The Easter Sunday, next Sunday, every Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the proof to us that what he said on the cross and what he did on the cross was truly save us from our sins. I know I'm saved because of Easter. Because of resurrection, it's the proof that he died for me and you. So what do we need to do? I remember when John the Baptist came, he pointed at Jesus. After he preached to the people, at a certain point, Christ appeared. And John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He'll pay it all. Follow him. So I would say to all of us today, let's be sure that we follow him. And we appreciate what he did when he died. And we know that he did it because he came out of the grave on the third day. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for paying for our sins so that we don't have to worry at all. When we take that last breath, we will be absent from our body and present with the Lord in that wonderful place that you prepared for us called heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. In your name we pray. Amen.